They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened." Well, I wonder this morning if you've ever found yourself with nothing. Now, this is more than the nothing when you look in the fridge and you say to yourself, there's nothing left to eat. A common problem if you have teenagers in the house. This is more than the nothing when you look in your wallet and discover that you don't have any cash in your wallet. Also a common problem if you have teenagers in the house. This is even more than the nothing we experience when someone we love has left. This is nothing. The nothing that we face when there's nothing left to say, nothing left to do, nothing left to give. This is the nothing that we start with, the nothing that we're thinking about at the beginning of this Easter morning. Because on that first day of the week, as we read there in Luke's account, very early in the morning, there was nothing. No light, so it was dark very early in the morning. No hope, no joy. The only thing that was present was nothing. There was nothing because, as far as everyone was concerned, something had happened. And now Jesus was gone. Dead and early on this Easter morning, buried. Jesus' opponents thought there was nothing. It was all over as far as they were concerned. Nothing left for them to worry about. His friends thought it was over. There was nothing now they could do. And so this Easter morning, we begin with nothing. And it's important to realize that's where we begin. It's very easy for us to skip and jump our way through Easter week, particularly in Baptist circles, where we can easily go from Palm Sunday straight through to Easter with not a lot in between. Early in the morning, as these women approached Jesus' tomb, there was this awful sense of nothing. Life can sometimes leave us in a similar place. We feel that there's nothing that we've achieved. In a place like Lower Early, we can spend a lifetime working towards our career. We study hard at school, we study hard at university, we get our job only to discover after so many years in that particular role, we're either made redundant or they want us to take early retirement. And we feel a bit left with nothing. What was it all for? Or we spend years investing in a relationship that we thought was forever, however we define that, only to discover actually we're left with nothing. We invest hard. We're careful with our health. We try to be the best we can be, and then we realize that actually it's adding up to nothing. This Easter Sunday, nothing is where we start. And followers of Jesus have to start by realizing there's nothing. We have to start in the place that the psalmist would refer to as the valley of the shadow of death, the place where all appears to be nothing, where all appears to be lost. On that Easter Sunday morning, the women came to mourn. They had no expectation that they would discover anything other than what you would usually discover when someone had been buried. They came to pay their respects because there was nothing else to do. The women, according to Luke, come to the tomb and find that the stone has been rolled away and that the body of the Lord Jesus has gone. Somehow it seems worse when we read it like that, don't we? Now there truly is nothing. They can't even pay their respects. But wait, nothing is about to become something. According to Luke, while they were still wondering about this, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. I have no idea what clothes that gleamed like lightning look like, but one presumes it's like one of those sparkly soap adverts for washing powder. Critics of Jesus today will tell us this Easter Sunday morning, there's nothing. You're deluded to pop over to church. You should just be celebrating that rest of us, worshipping the Easter bunnies and hunting for chocolate eggs. They dismiss any faith in Jesus or God as being superstitious nonsense. Critics of Jesus tell us that there's ultimately nothing, no purpose to life, that it all ends with nothing. And they'll tell us this as though their hope in nothing is somehow superior to our hope in something. Critics of Jesus this Easter Sunday morning will see nothing. And you know, the devil will like to send us things in life that will convince us too that there is nothing. But wait. If you go to the place where these women went, expecting nothing, something will appear. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, and this I find amazing, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? Nothing becomes something." Even though it's the obvious thing to do, to look for a dead body in a tomb, it is also this Easter Sunday morning the wrong thing to do. Doing the obvious, doing the rational, doing what society tells us is the right thing to do, doing the well-thought-out thing that everyone has done since goodness knows when, turns out this Easter Sunday to no longer be the right thing to do at all. Jesus has turned things around. There's something, but it's not here. What do they tell the women? He is not here. He is risen. Many of us have a suspicion that there is more to life than nothing. Indeed, if we're Christians, we'll often encounter in our friends or in our colleagues people who have a suspicion that there must be more to life than nothing. But what happens when you start to look for meaning in our lives? Well, a couple of things can happen. One is you can find Jesus. The other thing is you can find other things that aren't Jesus at all. If you look in the wrong place for something, you will ultimately find nothing because you won't find Jesus. Our job as followers of Jesus this Easter Sunday is to help people look in the right place. "Remember how he told you," they said. "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." It seems to us, because of the way we go through Easter so quickly, we think, well, how on earth could they not get it? Surely they must have heard from Jesus time and time again, and we see it recorded again and again in the Gospels, that this was what was going to happen. But they didn't, did they? And the women were not alone in not getting it. They came to this tomb expecting nothing. Then they were told something, and that something changed everything. This morning, we are reminded that Jesus died for a reason. His death was not accidental. His trial was unjust. But it was all part of God's plan to forgive us for our sins. We say, well, sins is a very technical term, Keith. You may use it a lot, but we don't. What we mean here is every bad thing we've done. We include also every good thing we didn't do. Sin is not just about avoiding doing bad things. It's actually doing the right thing. Every word or thought or action that hasn't been what God wanted for our lives has placed another brick in a wall that separates you and I from God. If you and I live separated from God, we'll end up with a life that needs to nothing. You know, in a place like Lower Early, it's very easy to have everything that the world can offer. None of us are short of food. Most of us have perfectly decent homes, probably homes that are a bit too big for us, if we're honest. Many of us have good careers. But without God, even though we've got the very best that the world can throw at us, at the end of our life, it will all add up to nothing. Those of us who follow Jesus today are in many respects a bit like these supernatural messengers. We have something to say that challenges the world around us. Where others see nothing, we see something that changes everything. The news that Jesus is risen from the dead changes everything. For if Jesus conquered death as he said he would, then the barrier between God and humans is broken down, as Jesus said it would be. And we are now all invited to be part of God's kingdom. A kingdom that will last forever. If we're sitting here this morning thinking, well, you know, it's Easter Sunday, all sounds a bit too good to be true, to be perfectly honest, then we're in good company. When the women come back to the apostles, interesting, isn't it? It's the woman who should be first there at the tomb on Easter Sunday, but there we go. They come back to the apostles. What's their reaction? Well, again, it's one of the things I think find so authentic about the Bible. You don't say they instantly believed and went, oh, of course, brief moment of lapse here. No, what they say is they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Well, there's no sparing anyone's blushes there, is there? What are you talking about? It seems utter nonsense. How could a dead person come back to life? That is nonsense. Here's the thing this Easter Sunday morning. Just because you don't believe it doesn't mean it's not true. Just because you don't want to believe it because it challenges all your set expectations about how the world ought to run also does not mean it's not true. If something's true, it remains true regardless of what others may think. I find it so interesting that the apostles seem to sit there going, well, this is just nonsense. They're sitting having a little, can't have a church committee because church isn't formed yet, but you know what I mean? They're sitting there discussing it all, trying to work it out. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. So where are you this Easter Sunday morning? Are you still with nothing? You've got a lot of stuff in your life, but ultimately, if you were told you were to die, you can't see anything beyond that, just nothing. Or have you heard something? And if so, what are you doing about it? We don't have to live a life that leads to nothing. Jesus was crucified and on the third day raised back to life. And for us, that's amazing because it means that we can be forgiven and given new life, a limitless new life. Have we this morning responded to that Easter good news that literally changes everything? As the disciples, the apostles as they're called in Luke, show us, it's not easy news for us to grasp. It really does defy our way of thinking and living. So upside down is this news that it sounds like nonsense. If you've heard something about Jesus, please this morning, don't be too quick to dismiss it. Be like Peter. Go out and investigate and think about it further. Let this Easter news start to change everything about you. This Easter Sunday morning, you may have come to this church and you may have arrived feeling, well, you got pretty well nothing. But this Easter, there's something that can ultimately change everything. Jesus, the Son of God, is risen. And with those amazing words, let's pray.